Sarkhan-Perek test Mishnah, Bezen-Phil-Perek test Mishnah, hey. It was introduced in the previous Mishnah that a Steachuzo, somebody who owns a field, a piece of land, permanently, such that when he sells that field, it will return to him when the Yovel year arrives, once every 50 years. If he wishes to buy that field back at any point before the Yovel year arrives, he has the right to do so, as long as it's not within the first 2 years since he sold the field. And he would pay the buyer the amount of money according to how many years are left until the Yovel year, in relation to the price which was originally paid. So for example, if somebody sold the field 10 years before Yovel for 10 zuz, and then 2 years later he comes to redeem the field, and there are now 8 years remaining until Yovel, they would use the original price, which was 10 zuz for 10 years. So according to the original price, they valued the field as 1 zuz per year, and since there are 8 years remaining for the buyer, he bought the right to another 8 years, the seller would have to pay him 8 zuz to buy that back until Yovel. When Yovel arrives anyway, it would come back to him, but if he wants to redeem it earlier on and buy it back, he has the right to do so as long as he pays according to the number of years which remain until Yovel. What happens if Mechor LaRishon B'Moneh, if the owner of this Steachuzo, he sold his field to the first person for the price of 100 zuz? To make things simpler, Reuven sold his field for 1 moneh, which is equivalent to 100 zuz, to Shimon. U'mocha HaRishon HaShein B'Masayim. And then Shimon sold that same field, very shortly thereafter, to a second person, we'll call him Levi, for 200 zuz, double the price. Now, once 2 years have passed, Reuven, the original owner, the permanent owner of the field, has the right to redeem his field. And obviously he would pay the person who is currently in the field. However, in Ochashev Elohim HaRishon, he only needs to calculate according to the first person and the first sale, as if he's buying the field back from the first person, from Shimon. And therefore, if, for example, he comes to redeem it after 2 years, there are 8 years remaining until Yovel, he would only need to pay 80 zuz based on the price originally set with the first person, the first buyer, Shimon, as opposed to paying 160 zuz, which would come out according to the calculation if we use the second price, which was set between Shimon and Levi. Shenema, as the pasuk says, that one needs to pay lo ish asher mochar loy, the man to whom he had sold the field, and he sold it to the first person, and therefore he bases the price on the original sale to Shimon. Mechor LaRishon B'Masayim, what happens if he sold the field to Shimon, the first person, for 200 zuz? U'mocha HaRishon LaSheni, and the first person Shimon sold that field on to Levi B'Moneh for only 100 zuz. Interestingly, the Mishnah says, Eino Mechashev Elohim HaAchroin, he only needs to calculate and buy it back from the last person, Levi. Here too, he is able to use the cheap price and therefore only pay 80 zuz, if there are 8 years remaining, instead of paying 160 zuz. Shenema, as the posuk says, lo ish, that you should give the money to the man. And in the context of that posuk, that word lo ish is unnecessary. The Torah could have said that you should pay the one to whom you sold the field. There's no need to specify the word lo ish. You should pay the man to whom you sold the field, and therefore we learn from that extra superfluous word that there are certain cases where one is able to pay lo ish asher b'soicha to the man who is currently in the field, even if you yourself was not the one who sold him the field. Now, the fact that we go according to the lenient option, that isn't necessarily learnt from these two psukim put together. We could maybe always go stringently. The fact that we always go according to the more lenient price is learnt from a comparison to a Jewish slave who redeems himself. It's learnt from elsewhere. Once we know that there is an option to pay one of those two people, or according to the price that one of those two people had paid, the fact that we go leniently is learnt from elsewhere. Now, the Mishnah continues with additional laws which are also learnt from Psukim. Lo yimkor b'rochok v'igal b'korov. One is not allowed to sell a field which he has far away in order to redeem this field which he had sold, which is nearer to him. If he doesn't have enough money and he wants to sell a different field, and we're talking about a case where he owned this field already at the time that he had sold the field which is coming to redeem now. It's learned from Sukkim that you're only able to sell property which you have in order to obtain money to redeem the field if that which you are selling you didn't own at the time that you originally sold the field. Likewise, Berov Yigal B'Yofer, if you have a worse quality field elsewhere, and that's why you want to sell it in order to redeem back this better quality field, you're not able to do so if you already had that field at the time that you sold this field which you're coming to redeem. Lo yilvav yigal, you're not allowed to borrow money in order to redeem the field. It's learned from Pesukim that it has to be your own money which you have permanently, not that it's a loan from somebody else. Lo yigal lachatzayim, you're also not able to redeem part of the field or half of the field. You can only redeem it if you buy back the entire field based on the amount of years left until the yovel. On the other hand, when it comes to redeeming hekdesh, which is something which belongs to the Beis Hamikdash, where hekdesh mutar b'kulon, all of these ways of redeeming are totally permitted, and zecher mibahedyet mibahekdesh, this is a stringency which exists when redeeming a field from an individual than when one redeems it from Beis Hamikdash property. Mishnah Gimel. Pretty much the rest of this perek talks about a new type of sale called Bote Orechoma. Bote Orechoma refers to houses which are inside walled cities, and the law regarding the sale of such houses, and we're going to see it also applies to different structures which are attached to the ground, just like a house, any structure like that inside of a walled city, the Torah decrees that they have unique laws in terms of buying it back. And the truth is, it's pretty much the opposite of a steh achuzah. A steh achuzah, which is a piece of land which one owns permanently, it comes back to him in Yovel, even if he sells it. And we learned that although he's able to redeem it back from the buyer, he cannot do so during the first 2 years. After the first 2 years, he's able to do so until the Yovel year, when the field will anyway come back to him. On the other hand, Bote Orechoma, which are houses inside walled cities, firstly, when one sells it, he sells it permanently. It does not come back to him in the Yovel year. And secondly, one is able to redeem back that house during the first year that he sells it. However, once that first year has passed, he's no longer able to redeem it. It's the opposite of a steh achuzah. A steh achuzah cannot be redeemed during the first 2 years, but after that it can. Whereas Bote Orechoma can be redeemed during the first year, not the first 2 years, the first single year, and after that it can no longer be redeemed, and it would be under the permanent ownership of the buyer. Begins the Mishnah, Moichah Bayis Bote Orechoma, one who sells one of these types of houses, which come under the category of Bote Orechoma inside of a walled city, hires a girl miyod. He is permitted, he has the right to redeem it immediately, even on the same day. The girl calls him Asar Chodesh, and he's able to redeem it for the next 12 months. However, once the 12 months pass, he is no longer able to redeem it. Now, in a case where he does end up redeeming it during that first year, the Mishnah notes that Harizek Kamin Ribis. It's very similar to a case of demanding interest for a loan of money. However, Vein or Ribis, it is not forbidden as regular interest would be forbidden. If you think about it, if he does come to redeem the house, then in terms of the money which had been given to him for the house, he's now giving back all of that money to the buyer in order to get back his field. And the law is that we don't minus off any amount of the money based on how much he had been in the field already. That only applies to a steh achuzah. But when one redeems Bote Orechoma, he doesn't deduct any amount of money based on how much he has been in that house already for this year. Now, one way of looking at this whole arrangement is that the buyer gave money to the seller of the field, of the house, and meanwhile he lived in the house, and a few months later he got the money back from the seller of the house. So, in essence, the seller of the field borrowed money. He had money with him, which belonged to somebody else. He was given the right to use that money, and a while later he gave back the money, just like a regular loan. The problem is that the fact that the person who had given him the money was able to live in his house for all this time without having to pay, that appears to be like regular interest, where the one borrowing the money gives something in addition to the amount and the worth of the loan to the one who gave him the money. So in a regular case, this would be totally forbidden. However, in this case, the Torah permits it. Continues the Mishnah, Meis HaMoicher, if the seller of the house dies within the first year, Yigal Benoi, his son who inherits him, is able to redeem it until the end of that year. Likewise, Meis HaLekeach, if the buyer if the buyer of the house dies within the year, and his son inherits him and anything that he owns, Yigal Miad Benoi, then the seller is still able to redeem the field from the son until that year ends. Says the Mishnah, he only counts the year from the time that he sold the field to the buyer. Meaning, if this buyer went and sold the field to somebody else in the middle of that year, that doesn't restart the year at all, and he has until 12 months after it was sold originally. Now, interestingly, Shanema, as the Pasuk says, Ad Meloyse Shana Tumima, until a full year will be filled up for him until he reached the end of the full year. Now, the Mishnah takes note of this term, the full year. What's that coming to tell us? Uchshu Omer Tumima, when the Torah makes a point of saying that it should be a full year, L'Havi Chodesh Ha'ibur, that is in order to include the month which was added in a leap year. If a leap year is made, which means that an Adar Sheni is added, an extra month, then we include that, and the seller would end up having 13 months in order to redeem his field. We wait until the same date the next year, even if that happens to end up being a 13 months later. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe has a fascinating opinion, and he says that although in virtually all other areas of halacha, of Jewish law, we follow the lunar months, we follow the cycle of the moon, and 12 cycles of the moon will be a full year. Over here, says Rebbe, when the Pasuk says a full year, that is coming to tell us that Yitin Leishonov Ibura, we give him the year and its additional days. Meaning the additional days between the length of a 12 lunar months, which is 354 days, and a solar year, which is 365 days. According to Rebbe over here, we go according to the solar calendar, and he would have one full year, according to that calculation, which would be 365 days. Mishnah Dalet, Yigei Yom Shnosar Chodesh, if the day or at the end of the 12 months arrives, V'lo Nigal, and the house of this walled city has not yet been redeemed by the one who sold it, he hadn't bought back the field, Ho'yacholut Loi, it would become owned absolutely by the buyer. He would become now the permanent owner. Echad Alokech V'echad Shidin Le'matana, these laws of Bati Arachoma apply both to one who buys a field, as well as to one who gets given a field as a gift. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, that the field becomes owned by the buyer permanently. When the Torah uses the word permanently, it says Latzmisus, forever. Now, there's an extra letter there, though the Pasuk could have said Latzomus, which has the same meaning. The fact that it doubles up the Toph, such that it reads Latzmisus, that comes to include this extra case of a gift, that the same laws would apply. Once again, that for the first year, the first 12 months, according to whatever calculation we go with based on the previous Mishnah, for the first year, the seller has the right to buy it back, after which, if he has not done so, it would become permanently owned by the buyer. Barishoina, originally, we ran into a problem, because Hayonitmon Yomishne was a Chodesh. The buyer would hide for the last day of these 12 months, Shehei Cholut Loi, so that he would become the absolute owner of the field. If the seller wouldn't be able to find him to give him the money and to buy it from him, then he would end up being the permanent owner. In order to solve this problem, Hiskin Hillel Hazokain, Hillel the Elder, Hillel Hazokain instituted Shehei Cholish as Ma'oisov Balishka, that he would be able to place his money in the chamber. It's not entirely clear what exact chamber we're talking about. Some understand that there was a particular chamber in the Beis Hamikdosh which was designated for this purpose, or at least this is one of the uses of that chamber in the Beis Hamikdosh. Although this is a little bit difficult to understand, since the whole idea over here is that it would be easier for him to redeem the field. If he has to go all the way up to the Beis Hamikdosh, which could be a very far journey, then you wouldn't have necessarily solved the problem, and therefore others explained that there was a chamber in each basin of each city which was designated for this purpose, and once he pays the money, as long as it's within the first 12 months, v'hei shoveres adeles v'nichnas, he is able to then break down the door of the house and enter into the house and continue living there, imosai shiritza hala, and when the other person wants to, yovel yotlas ma'isov, he can come and he's welcome to take his money, but he has not got the right to prevent this person from redeeming his house. Mishnah Hey, the Torah talks about a house which is inside of a walled city, Bote Arichoyma. However, the Mishnah says that the truth is, Kol Shulifim in Achoyma, any structure which is within the walls of the walled city, and we must add, as long as it is attached to the ground, in a similar way to a house, Harihu Kubote Arichoyma, that has the same laws as a house which is inside of a walled city, Chutz Ben Asodos, except for fields, since fields don't resemble a house at all. However, Rabbi Meir says, Afasodois, even fields would have the same law. Now, the truth is, the Gemara explains that even according to Rabbi Meir, this doesn't refer to any type of field. It refers to a piece of land which is likely to be used for building a house or for obtaining materials like stones in order to build a house, as opposed to being used as a field for planting. According to Rabbi Meir, that is similar enough to a house such that it would share the laws which the Torah provides for a house inside of a walled city. Continues the Mishnah, Bais HaBonoi B'Choyma, a house which is built into the wall of a city. The question is whether that house is considered to be like a regular house inside of the walled city, or perhaps it has the status of a house in a non-walled city, and the laws of such a house will be discussed in a couple of Mishnah's time. So Rabbi Huda says, it is not considered like a house inside of the walled city, because it's not totally inside. And Rabbi Shimon says, the outer wall is the wall of the city, and therefore this is considered to be like any other house inside of the walled city. And the Gemara explains that their argument is based on Pesukim.